This is KUT.
Austin.
Stop.
Austin is rethinking how its police department should function in light of a national reckoning with racism and police killings of black people. With the passage of its recent city budget, the Austin City Council agreed to a sweeping reallocation of some of APD's funding. They also committed to decoupling a handful of units and move them outside the department. But what exactly does that mean? KUT's Andrew Weber reports on how that could affect a crucial function of the police department.
In every single police interaction, the first few seconds count. Those first few seconds dictate levels of trust or mistrust. Those first few seconds and how badly they've gone in hundreds of cases are a large reason we're having a national discussion on policing, racial equity, and systemic racism. And for Courtney Santana, her first few seconds interacting with two APD officers left an impression on her. She was in a parking lot, collapsed on asphalt. She said she heard trombones, like the ones you hear when an adult talks in a Charlie Brown cartoon. Then she came to.
And then I realized that the cops were playing with my kids. Like, I heard them, like, cooing with them and laughing and bouncing them up and down. And they were like, "Mommy's okay. Mommy's all right." And I'm sitting there having a mental breakdown in front of the kids.
She'd just left her partner. That night, a gun fell out of his jacket, sending a bullet just over the head of her 8-month-old son. The cops helped connect her with a shelter, and she says she'd be dead if they didn't. And now she's an advocate. She helps run Survive to Thrive, a nonprofit that connects people with shelter after domestic and family violence incidents. She works closely with the Austin Police Department's Victim Services, a unit with dedicated case managers and counselors who help victims and survivors of domestic and family violence, child abuse, and sexual assault get the help they need when they're in crisis. As Austin reconsiders its philosophy on policing, the unit, which handles roughly 8,400 cases a year, is slated to be moved out of APD. Initially, that got folks like Santana concerned because those case managers and counselors rely on access to APD's criminal justice records, 911 calls, and access to actual officers who they join on calls. Santana says they'd be outside the system like she is.
They'd be on the outside too, and they need those protections of the APD. So it wouldn't be a good deal. Like, their effectiveness comes from their ability to be inside of APD and be a representative of what APD can do. You take them out, then they become like us, and they'll be a little bit less effective than they are right now.
Councilmember Greg Cassar, who helped spearhead the push to move the unit out of APD, got a lot of calls about this.
I've had to take phone calls of people who are like, "Why are you disbanding Victim Services?" Or, "Why did you defund Victim Services?" And it's like, literally the opposite of what we were trying to do.
Cassar doesn't want to freeze out the unit from that access. He says maintaining that access is guaranteed, and the new budget allows the unit to hire 4 additional full-time employees and give them money to purchase new equipment. But Victim Services Manager Kachina Clark says she still has a lot of questions about the move. That includes how a non-APD-affiliated department would legally have access to police data.
If we were moved to another city department, I'm not sure that we can continue to legally have access or the full level of access that we have now.
She also worries the move could mean the end of officers and counselors responding in tandem, a practice Clark says the pandemic has shown to be essential. Counselors were initially relegated to remote work during the pandemic. Clark says that didn't last long.
When the crisis team counselors were responding to most calls by phone, the patrol officers very quickly requested that they come back and respond in person. They really have become, I think, very dependent on the counselors for getting better information. My guess is that victims and survivors are likely to remain more engaged in the criminal justice process or investigative process if they're able to have the support of a counselor throughout it.
And Clark says this is a crucial time. A time when instances of domestic and family violence and child abuse are on the rise during the COVID-19 pandemic. And as those cases increase, the area has struggled with where to put people in crisis. As part of the city's plan to move Victim Services, council also pledged to buy up hotel space for folks during and after the pandemic. Courtney Santana with Survive to Thrive says her concern focuses on staffing in the newly configured unit. As the move out of APD progresses, she hopes the unit doesn't lose any of the 13 counselors that handle cases for the entire Austin area.
Which is great if we had a smaller city, but 13 in a city our size and growing every day is really not enough.
Councilmember Greg Kassar says three new counselors have been added to the unit under this new budget, and that understaffing is partly what's driven the effort to move the unit out of APD. It's been historically underfunded and understaffed, so pulling it out of the department would give it more autonomy, he argues. And it could mean they'd have a greater say in their budgets going forward.
It has been a real struggle over the course of years for them to get to where they are. And I think that if we want to really prioritize victim services, if we want to prioritize what survivors actually want in the process, then we need to elevate that section of the department.
That's a sentiment echoed by Victim Services Manager Kachina Clark. She hopes the discussion in the year ahead centers around the wants and needs of victims and survivors who've reached out for help. Andrew Weber, KUT News.